this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown, let's ignite. Black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight. For the breakdown, every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's December 10th, 2024. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Twitch channel. Like, subscribe, follow, hit that notification bell on YouTube so you know whenever we're going live or dropping new content. Make sure you're following us on your favorite podcast platform. Hit subscribe. Follow whatever if you haven't already. All that good stuff. There's too much to go over. All whatever the kids are saying nowadays. I'm Terry Lee, co-host Evan Webb in the house. Webby, how we doing tonight?
Not bad, Tay. Not bad. Still trying to get over the sickness that I had last week. So it's been a whirlwind of a week for many reasons.
A lot of stuff going around. My wife and mother-in-law both have been battling something for a week now, and one's I think on her way up. The other one, not so much. So
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of nasty stuff. Got Cameron Day in the comments here on YouTube. What year do we make the Rose Bowl?
Next year, book it.
You heard it here first. Ted Berkey, Odom feels like the safe hire. No one is overly excited, but no one hates it. I think he fits the Purdue culture. If he can get good players here, he can win and hopefully turn us into a new Iowa. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was number two on my initial top five list. So,
yep.
Number one, I will say, was Jamie Chedwell from Liberty, but I don't think he was ever in the discussion. So,
yeah.
But no, I definitely think he fits the Purdue culture, and I thought he proved that today in his both press conferences, the introductory press conference, and then the one with the media. I mean, of course, it's hard for coaches really not to win. Opening press conference, but I thought he did a good job, and I'm not really trying to say this as a slight or a knack or anything to Ryan Walters or towards Ryan Walters, but it's a night and day difference between his press conference and Barry's press conference today.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, he was a guy that I liked the idea of from the start, just mostly because of his experience. I know people like to point out his, you know, you should call it mediocre record at Missouri. But I mean, again, I kind of say like, I mean, Jeff Brohm, granted, you could say they took over, you know, different situations at each school, but also, you know, different. But I mean, Brohm here was mediocre, was around 500 as well. And really Purdue football history, they were like around a 500. So it's really not anything different from what Purdue is kind of used to.
Yeah, and you're talking about his time at Missouri. Yeah, I thought he kind of got a raw deal at Missouri.
Yeah, it was his last season. He went 6-6 before he got fired.
He went 4-8 in 2016. Then he went 7-6, and that was a bowl loss to Texas. Then he went 8-5, a bowl loss to Liberty, and then 6-6, which they did not make a bowl. So 25-25 record, 13-19 conference play, and they fired him. And then he went to be the DC at Arkansas after that, and then took over UNLV last year in 2023, which the history of UNLV football is slim to none.
Yeah.
Went 9-5, and then this year went 10-3. So overall record of 19-8 and 12-3 in conference, two Mountain West Conference Championship appearances. So he's been there, done that. You know, when he was coaching Missouri, he was a lot younger than he is now. He still is only 48.
Yeah.
We've seen this before where coaches maybe get a job when they're not quite ready. Mm-hmm. And then they learn a lot, go around some other stops. And then when they get another crack at a big time job, they do well.
Mm-hmm. And he was at Missouri for like just at Missouri in general for a long time.
And yeah.
Like as different, you know, different positions and analysts and GA roles, I'm assuming. So,
yep. So, I mean, yeah, he grew up in Oklahoma, and then right after his playing days at Missouri, he was a assistant coach at a high school in Oklahoma, then took over as a head coach at a high school in Missouri, then was a GA at Missouri, then was director of recruiting, And then he was, looks like, director of football operations. And then he was a safeties coach. And then he went to Memphis and was the defense coordinator slash linebackers coach under Justin Fuente. Mm-hmm. And then he came back to Missouri, was DC and linebackers coach, and then took over as head coach. Then he went to Arkansas, where he's assistant head coach, defense coordinator, and safeties coach. Then went to UNLV. So
yeah,
a lot of stops along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that he's had a lot of experience. Not only one as a head coach, but just like he's done a lot of different roles, so he kind of knows, yep, I think, how a program is supposed to run. At least that's the vibe I get from watching. I saw a little bit of his introductory press conference this morning. I haven't watched the media one yet, but it just feels like he just knows how a program is supposed to be run.
Yep. Yeah, the media one, the biggest takeaways I thought was he was asked by Tom Dean Hurt of going black about the NIL, and he said it will be as competitive as mm-hmm. pretty much as competitive as we can be, and competitive mm-hmm. right there with everybody else. So hopefully that's telling the truth. I mean, President Chang in the introductory press conference today said that Purdue's going to be more committed now more than ever going forward with sports. So, hope that's true too.
My ears.
Yeah, hope that's true too. And I mean, so far from just his contract, it looks like Purdue will be 6-year contract for 39 million dollars. Starts off at 6, then works his way up. So million a year. Don't know what his pool for assistant coaches will be. That's what I'm really intrigued.
That's the big one.
John Hawks here on YouTube said, I don't think the OC is coming.
No, I don't think so either.
Yes. I'm blanking on his first name.
I can't either.
I'll get it here. He's the innovator of the go-go offense.
Yeah.
It's based off a triple Brennan Marion. There we go.
Yeah.
It's based off a triple option, but it's not a true triple option offense. That's a tongue twister. I mean, it's a run first offense, but still they throw for over 3,000 yards. It's very up tempo, fast paced. It's definitely the thing that, if he was to come to Purdue, it intrigues me about it, is it's different. And I feel like when Purdue's been good in the past at offense, they've kind of had a gimmicky style of offense, whether it's screen bubble screens, you know, introducing that to the Big Ten in the college football world 94, if it was trick plays under Jeff Brohm or he just very innovative. But he was also the centerpiece of this NIL situation that UNLV had earlier this year, in which their starting quarterback, after 3 games in which UNLV started 3-0, decided he was pretty much going to quit and take a redshirt year because he was, according to him, getting what he was promised in an NIL. Right. And Brennan Marion was right in the thick of that, which I guess what they're saying is Barry Odom didn't know that till after the fact during the season. So,
yeah. Yeah, because he was a guy that I think we were all kind of, as soon as he got hired, we're like, oh, we want him to come. Like, this is a great hire if he can get his OC to come. But now that it sounds like it's probably not happening. And after kind of finding out that he was probably that, you know, it's not, anyway, we don't really know for a fact, but the kind of the rumors are that he was the assistant who promised this kid.
Yeah, Matthew Sluka was the name of the quarterback.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then maybe, you know, if Odom truly wasn't involved in that and didn't like it, I kind of like that because it kind of maybe shows that he's, you know, again, he's a player's coach and is going to fight for his players to get what they deserve. That's what the kind of the theme I've seen a lot, which, I mean, Twitter can be an echo chamber of depending on your side of things, but it feels like everything I've seen is just like the players, like former players, absolutely love them.
Mm-hmm.
I saw, was it Jason King or who former lineman?
Jason King for Purdue.
Yeah. Said he talked to some friends of his who played for Odom, and they said that they were like, he said he's ready to run through a brick wall for him. I saw one of the papers in New York, papers, like people read papers anymore, but like one of the websites interviewed Drew Locke, which I totally forgot that he was a quarterback
when
they came into Ross State and had that, which I wasn't able to go to that game, had that
40-37. That was one of the more exciting games in a loss.
Yeah. Said he like played his best football under him. So that gets me really excited. And Yeah, I mean, hopefully you can get somebody. Again, I think this is a good hire, but I think it could be a really great hire. So it sounds like, you know, when he's had success, it's because he's had a really good offensive coordinator. And so yeah. That's kind of what I'm waiting to see.
Well, like Doug and Angelotta here on YouTube said, Odom's offense always scores. He'll bring in a good one. Yeah. I mean, he's had Josh Heupel, Derek Dooley.
Right. I totally forgot he had Heupel.
Yeah. Well, and then he fired Heupel Heupel left for UCF, excuse me, to be head coach. Yeah. And then he hired Derek Dooley, and that was kind of what a lot of people think was his downfall. But keep an eye on Justin Fuente. Used to be the head coach at Memphis and Virginia Tech. He is not employed anywhere currently. He was an analyst for Indiana last year.
Yeah, that's right.
He's an offensive head coach, so that might make some sense. I think it'll be somebody he's coached with in the past. I don't think we're going to do any Graham Harrell bullcrap, which you bring in a big name and you haven't worked with them in the past and you hope it's going to work, which I guess and maybe it's not fair and maybe it's just recency bias, but I'm going to trust Barry Odom more than I'm going to trust Ryan Walters when developing a staff because of his connections and his experience.
Yeah, yeah, so, I think his fraternity of coaching brothers, I think, is a lot deeper than Walters, which again is no fault. It was just Walters being young and inexperienced really is the big thing.
I realize Walters was a D coordinator under Odom at Missouri. I get that, but it is what it is. Ted Berkey here on YouTube. Remember, Walters won the offseason.
He did.
We thought. and he said Odom was fired from Missouri, similar to Hope. He beat bad teams, but had no big wins. I hope actually had some big wins and couldn't take care of the teams he was supposed to. That was a Danny Hope problem. I mean, he'd beat Ohio State and Michigan, but couldn't beat Toledo and Northern Illinois and teams like that. But in 2012, he couldn't beat teams. Any of the big boys. Metal Scholar _007. Heck of a name there on YouTube. I was excited about the hire once the news first broke, and after listening to Odom during the introduction and press conference, I'm even more excited.
Absolutely.
John Hawks here. Exactly. Different, innovative, something no one else in the conference is doing on offense.
Yeah.
And back to Marion. I mean, he might end up getting the UNLV head coaching job.
Yeah.
Or I've also read where Michigan really wants them to be their office coordinator. So,
okay. So that'd be interesting.
There's other teams out there, for his
services.
Services. Thank you. I couldn't think of it. So I guess, we're just got to put, faith in Barry. And I thought it was interesting. They were asking him during the media portion about staff. He alluded, he'll probably bring some from UNLV with him, but he also said he was trying to, he didn't want to throw a date out there or anything, because he said a lot of people are going to be coaching in bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
So,
That's always interesting, because like, obviously, you know, the portal opened yesterday, and then obviously you've still got, you know, high school recruits that, especially on the Purdue side, you know, put off signing until the, you know, new coach was announced, until the February signing period. So, which obviously you've got plenty of time at that point, but with the portal open, it's kind of all hands on deck. But I'm assuming they've got something in the works of bringing people on and coordinating that effort, because they've got a lot of people they have to bring in. Hopefully they can get a few of those guys that jumped in from Purdue and bring them back that are going on some insane visits as being reported.
Yeah, Brennan Thieneman supposedly visiting Ohio State and Dylan. Brennan's his brother. Wow, that was like a roll off a ton like nothing. Wow, that was, thank you. I wouldn't even caught myself. Dylan Thieneman is visiting Ohio State and Oregon. Also has interest from Texas, Penn State, LSU. Will Hell has interest from Texas A&M, programs. LSU. So we're talking about the big boys. You know, they're seeing NFL. You got to hope. I mean, we don't know what their goals and ambitions are,
right?
What drives them. But, you know, you got to hope if it's NIL that Purdue can get close. Not somehow match, and maybe they take in account where we can be absolute studs and legends at Purdue, and we might just be another solid guy at some of these other programs. But those programs are national championship caliber programs, which you'll be in the spotlight at all times. So,
One thing that someone, I think it was on the either Twitter or the boards, brought up is that, you know, with some of these guys going in, you know, and visiting the Ohio States, the Oregons, the Texases, the LSUs, the scholarship number is going up
to 105.
You know, I mean, you don't have to have that many guys, but it's like, you know, some of these guys, and like, I think like a team like Ohio State, I mean, obviously I think Dylan's an elite talent too. Obviously they have a great year this year. But I mean, like, secondary is something that Ohio State brings in five star after five star. And so it's like, you know, obviously, yeah, they'll take Dylan for sure, but it's like, would he see the field? I think he could, right. But like, as much as he would, you know, elsewhere, yeah, like Purdue.
Right. And I don't blame anybody even now after we know Barry Odom's the guy for putting your name out there and seeing what's available for you.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm still shocked. Well, maybe it's still early in the process for Purdue basketball, but one of these days we're going to see somebody, maybe they won't leave, but they're going to put their name out there to see what their options are.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not anytime soon, but it's just the way college athletics is anymore. I don't know what they can do. I don't know what the future looks like. It changes so much every year, and the revenue sharing, which starts on July 1st, is going to open up a whole different door of
whole different
problems or solutions or whatnot. So Ted Berkey here. Hopes last year we went 6-6 without a win over a team with a winning record. Yep, I was a manager on that team, so I remember that very well. And he also says we absolutely need to be creative on offense.
Yeah.
Yep. So a little surprised Devin Mockaby hasn't entered the portal at all, but he probably kind of knows what teams would be interested if he did, maybe. Yeah. But maybe he just is that loyal guy to Purdue, loves the school, wants to get that Purdue degree. Is not looking elsewhere. Maybe he's like been promised a bump in NIL. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like he's I think he does some sort of engineering. So obviously that, I mean, yeah, he can go to a lot of places and get an engineering degree, but you know, not many places are like Purdue in that regard. Right. They'll set you up for life. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are well aware of that. But yeah, it's been, I mean, we saw Kerman's go in the portal, our shining star from the portal last year. One of few who actually played well.
Well, he knows we're not going to punt as much because we're going to be scoring putties all over the place.
Now we're sounding like Caleb Williams.
God. Yeah, that's worked out well.
I mean, we've seen, obviously, Helt go in, a lot of the receivers. Interesting, we haven't seen like CJ Smith, CJ Madden go in yet. Trying to think, who are the other Georgia guys?
Denylan Morissette.
He went in, right? Did he put his name in?
I didn't think he did.
Did he not? I don't know.
And Nylan Green. I don't think any of them. Yeah. I don't think any of them have.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I think, the next couple of days are going to be obviously a lot of moving parts over the next few days just with trying, you know, obviously him putting his staff together and then seeing what players we know. I know we did see, obviously he flipped two high school commits already. Yes. One being
Garrett,
his son. So
Garrett Odom, three-star, who we had offered. We were one of his offers. Yes.
Okay.
Jeff Brohm in Louisville. I got it up right here. Let me see if I can find.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. Like, if it was Walter Steph, like, obviously he knows Odom. So, like, hey, why not, you know?
The other kid is a linebacker, Parker Meese, and he had offers from Arkansas, Auburn, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Kentucky, Louisville, Michigan, Michigan State, Missouri, Ole Miss, Penn State, Oregon, and others.
And he was only a three-star? Wow.
Out of Fayetteville, the state of Arkansas. Yeah. Let me go check.
Three-star gems that we see on
Garrett Odom, cool. Which spells his name unlike any Garrett I've ever seen.
Actually, I didn't even notice how he spelled it.
G-A-R-Y-T.
That is a way to spell Garrett.
Yeah, he had offers from, let's see, UNLV, of course, Arkansas, Louisville, Mid-Tennessee State, Nebraska, North Texas, Penn State, Texas A&M, University of Texas San Antonio. Now, this doesn't show Purdue. Maybe Purdue was interested and never offered.
Okay.
I thought somebody on the board said they had, but still, pretty good list there. Still, A&M, Penn State, Nebraska, Louisville, Arkansas.
Yeah.
So, Purdue's 2025 recruiting class will have, or 2024 recruiting class, 24/25. I don't know how you want to
say it. It's 25, yeah.
We'll have two freshman quarterbacks, Sawyer Anderson, too.
Yep. That's true.
Yep.
Dealing with that, which he set some passing record in Texas.
State of Texas passing yards, I think.
I think it was. Yeah, it was like 15,000 or something crazy. Which, you know, Texas, not known for high school football at all.
No, not at all. let's see. Yeah, I just saw it, and I don't.
John Hawks has got tough up the fellas. I assume he means the big uglies up front.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's especially if it's. I mean, that's what kind of scares me about hearing like run first, like which obviously doesn't mean run every time, but it just with Purdue's history, we've never been a great. I mean, even though I guess we were pretty good rushing last year. I guess if you can get creative with like obviously with Mockaby, but you know, getting elite O linemen has always been the struggle for Purdue, no matter who was at the helm.
Yep. So, but it was cool to hear Odom talk about how he thought Purdue was an elite football job. I think that was more just saying that for the press conference, but
he said that. I was like, oh, okay.
So, I mean, it did sound like from some things I read, he was as attracted to Purdue as Purdue was to him. So that was nice to hear because,
yeah,
as much as I'm thankful for what Jeff Brohm did for Purdue football, I don't always think it was a two-way street there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, that was, I mean, when he was hired, people were like, oh, this is just, we've got him until Louisville comes calling because that's home. And he and his whole family, you know, are Louisville royalty. So that's not surprising that was a thing. Obviously, it came up a lot faster than probably all wanted after year one with him again flirting with Louisville. But I think it's always nice to hear. You know, obviously, it sounds like, as was with Brohm, it sounds like Odom was Babinski's number one pick, which obviously we'll never truly know. You know, obviously they say
that's conflicting with a few reports we've seen out there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I laugh. Because I had the, because it was in our Twitter mentions. I don't know who it was. So if you're listening, sorry. I thought it was a dumb comment. when the initial report came out that it was Odom, and people were like, we saw some mixed results, I think, because, you know, some people wanted, you know, Summerall, or they wanted Matt Chadwell Campbell. Or whatever. Matt Campbell. One of them was, you know, mediocre hire. Why didn't we go get Matt Campbell? It's like, who's to say we didn't try? But also, it's not like this is, you know, it is pro sports now where you can just trade somebody and be like, hey, you're coming here no matter what. It's like, it is a two-way street of like, someone has to agree. It's like, kind of ask the person, why aren't you dating Margot Robbie? I don't know. Like, playing that game. That always makes me laugh. It's like, why don't you go with this person? It's like, well, who said didn't try? Like, I mean, like, it's...
Well, it's just like any line of employment. That person might be completely content where they are.
Right.
And don't want to start over. I mean, that it's not just coaching a football team. They have families. They have livelihoods.
Yeah.
They're going to pay a ton of money, but also comes with a ton of stress. So
it's like we see the same with recruiting. It's like, how would this kid not pick Purdue? It's like maybe the kid just didn't want to come to West Lafayette. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it always cracks me when people say that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a two way decision, but
no. Yeah. Nope. You're 100% correct. But it'll be interesting who Odom brings on and staff, what players he's able to bring with him from UNLV. They had 30 seniors on the roster.
Yeah, so they had an old team.
Yeah. So. But there's still some younger guys that contributed, so maybe he can bring some of them. I'm hoping he flips more UNLV commits because they have the top-ranked Mountain West recruiting class, which I know Mountain West and Big Ten are different. But I would think if he got in the ear of any of those guys, they're like, oh, we got a chance to play in the Big Ten? Heck yeah, we're coming. But we'll see. So and he's going to have to grab some guys in the portal. Mm-hmm. And like you said, try to retain some guys too. So and he did mention during the introductory press conference that – he pointed all the players that came, and he pretty much said, you know, and he knows they're all leaving after this week for finals finish up. But he wants to meet with everybody there in finals week, and he said let's take everybody back as long as they want to be here. So he said this is not a rebuild in his mind. He wants to win and win quick.
So. Yeah, which I like hearing that. You know there are another reports of his first meeting with the team and. Hearing potential reports of guys getting kicked out before they even because they showed up late, or a guy getting kicked out because his cell phone rang. Which, I'm all for it. I mean, I think
it's old school, but I think it's fine.
I think this is I think this program definitely needs a culture reset. Like I said, I was really hoping Walters would do well here. I love what he brought to the table. But it does seem like, you know, things were maybe a bit too lax. You kind of, you sometimes see that with younger coaches of like, you know, trying to be, you know, friends with the players first versus, you know, want to seem cool or like, you know, be it, you know, having it be it like, that's how you get certain players. But it's like, at the end of the day, like these guys need discipline. Like they're still, you know, 18 to 22, 23 year olds, like,
25 in some cases.
Yeah. So hearing that, like, I'm just like, yeah, this, and also we saw with Brom too, of like just lack of discipline on the field,
100%,
and not so much off the field.
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, we didn't have a ton of guys get arrested or anything, but
yeah,
just stupid penalties at crucial times, and yeah, need to get that buttoned up for sure,
Yeah, but discipline is definitely something needed. It just feels like this guy's just not going to put up with a lot of crap.
Yep. And Doug and Angelotta here on YouTube. I think Purdue will improve in first year. Yeah, I do too. I mean, the record still
might not be great. God, I hope so.
It's an easier schedule compared to this year, but it's still a gauntlet of a schedule. But yeah, I think we'll see improvement. I just want fans to be patient. I mean, this, you know, he's not calling it a rebuild. This might take a little while. I hope fans realize that. John Hawks, we need wide receivers. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, as far as right now, a lot of them are returning. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jerron Tibbs entered the portal, and he's got some crazy offers, in my opinion. USC, Louisville, Minnesota, Georgia Tech, somebody else I'm forgetting there.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't think C.J. Smith's in. Denylan Morissette, Jamal Edrin, I think they're all back. Mm-hmm. Shamar Rigby, not sure.
I don't remember seeing.
Yeah. There was another wide receiver that did. It was at Armand Branch.
Oh, yeah.
He entered the portal. So, Ted Berkey, we need discipline. Haven't had it since Tiller. It's been a long time.
Arguably, yeah.
Yeah. He also said our talent this year was a 5-7 record. Coaching failed us. Heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, look at games like, I mean, obviously Illinois, Northwestern, Michigan State, like those three games easily, because those were overtime games or, you know, close ones at the end. And obviously look at Oregon State, like as a game that we probably should have won. Those were, I mean, there's right there. There's your,
Oregon State right wasn't even good and we lost by 17. So,
yeah. And, you know, you were tied with Nebraska at half, 0-0,
down 4 going into the fourth.
Right. So there was,
there was chances there. Couldn't get done.
Yep.
It is interesting on a national scale. It seems like a lot of people don't like this hire.
So I saw a lot of different things though, too. Like it's interesting. I guess it depends on where you look.
It does depend. I guess I just was scrolling YouTube and finding different ones, which a lot of those probably don't know a ton about Purdue.
Yeah.
But you know, a few think it didn't like it on Barry's behalf, saying that it's gonna be too tough of a turnaround for him to do in this day and age. But and then I saw one guy play devil's advocate and said, look what Cignetti did at Indiana 1 year.
I mean, literally the losingest program in history.
Yes.
Like and going from,
and they're still a doormat. I know they're
miraculous
year and they're in a college football playoff, but they're still looked at as a doormat, I think. Until they become a consistent winner, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I've seen a couple people that like were, I think it was some national guys like Fornelli, you know, he's an Illinois guy. I saw quite a few guys that were like, "This is actually a really good hire." I have a friend of mine who's a diehard Tennessee fan, and he like when we did it, he was like, "Oh, like he didn't think Purdue had it in them to hire a name like this." He thought he would go get, you know, a Helton or someone kind of, you know, G5 level, or I guess he is G5, but even lower level than that. And then I did have
some coworkers. Didn't have powerful experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do have a coworker that, he went to Mizzou and he just kind of was like, oh, just pretty much getting all the Missouri rejects. Cause obviously Walters and Odom and some people are like, oh, that's a terrible hire. And I was like, I really don't care what any of you think. So, but we'll see.
You know, you could always go back with them that, our basketball coach didn't leave for you guys. So
right.
Patrick Kennedy on YouTube. Anyone know how good Barry Odom's son and QB for UNLV just transfer day? Yeah, we talked about him earlier. Garrett, 3-star, but had some nice offers. Arkansas, Louisville, Penn State, Texas A&M, just to name a few. So he's an offer list.
Yeah.
Brian, on YouTube, wide receivers were talented, but play calling couldn't utilize them effectively. Yeah, and they definitely struggled to get open, and I don't know if that was scheme, how the plays were designed, or just their talent. Yeah, they definitely struggled. So, spring ball is going to be pretty fascinating this year.
Yeah. To see, obviously, one, you know, he's got to see who he's got, because then there's obviously still the summer portal before summer camp and all that. So, it'll be interesting. I think there'll be a lot of guys who leave because maybe they don't want to, because I think his practices are going to be pretty intense, which it sounds like, again, we don't know, but it sounds like maybe practices in the past regime weren't as physical or regimented.
Yeah, it sounds like they were organized, but yet.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of. Yeah. So it sounds like, I think I watched the YouTube video, at least I watched most of it. It was posted on the boards of, like, he was at a coaching conference. I think it was over the summer. But he kind of talked about how his practices and how two days are in full pads, like, and you're doing full contact, which I thought was pretty cool. And it was like one day was in spiders and then one day was just sweats. Like it was like Friday walkthrough sort of thing. So I like that. I think that's something I think last year's team or this past season's team really lacked, was just maybe it was just lack of, which I get it too, because if you are going full contact, you do run the risk of guys getting injured.
Like they did in year one. I mean, towards the end of the year, they had to be real careful because of all the injuries. Yeah.
But also, I think if you overcorrect the other way, I think we saw we did this past year where it's like their just technique is not there because they just didn't do it enough in the offseason. Yeah. So it'd be cool to see. Yeah, he seems like just an old school, like.
Yep. Blue collar, roll up your sleeves, get to work type of guy. And definitely did his homework on Purdue. Of course, he brought up Joe Tiller and Jeff Brohm in the press conference today, which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Excited about it. And season ticket renewals opened today, which I knew they were going to anyways, but it was perfect timing with the press conference. And the email video had Barry Odom giving a message to the Purdue fan base. Deadline's March, so everybody's got time. But I recommend everybody, if they can swing it, to renew your tickets. We do have seven home games compared to six. So and some good ones, some good home games. USC, Ohio State, Indiana, Illinois.
Obviously, Ball State and Southern
Illinois. Ball State, Southern Illinois, and somebody else. Minnesota, maybe? I don't know the other one off the top of my head. So, but yeah, good home slate. So, I mean, you showed up this year for a 1-11 season. Might as well show up and support a first year head coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other thoughts before we switch gears and talk some basketball?
I mean, I'm glad they got it done. It sounds like it was I can't believe just in today's age, being able to keep something like this under wraps, like pretty so impressive. Tight. Because we're really like nothing. I mean, we were, talking with Andrew in our group chat, like, because it sounded like Saturday might have been a day. Because obviously Friday was a few conference championships and Saturday was the big day. And it sounded like, the coach was coaching on one of those days. So, obviously monitoring, which team was playing poorly. He's like, oh, is that because coach is checked out already? And
it was like every team that had a guy in the mix playing bad except Army.
Yeah. Yeah. Helton's team got throttled. Gosh, who else?
Campbell's team got throttled.
Yeah. Summerall's team got beat pretty badly, right?
Martin's team got throttled.
Yeah, which that was
yeah. Munkin beat Summerall.
That's right. So it was like it was either Munkin or that was like the only one who's like coach actually won.
Because the Chuck Martin won. He got blitzed by Ohio's coach Albin, who won MAC Coach of the Year, and then Albin goes to Charlotte right after the game. It's like, oh God, that's what I was thinking the whole time in my head.
Yeah. This is cool. Adam on YouTube, glad to see him go, but a great addition for you all from a UNLV fan. Appreciate it.
Yep. Hopefully you guys get a good next head coach and keep it going out there in the Mountain West. Yeah. Fun team to watch this year.
I didn't know they played in Allegiant Stadium, or whatever it's called out there, the where the Raiders play?
Is they did not in the home game I watched.
Oh, okay. I saw it was some, it might have been Twitter thing. They're talking, it was some other podcast talking about this. Is like, you know, the UNLV support, even for a good team, just wasn't there. Like when they were playing at those types of stadiums, wow, where just wasn't there. Like maybe 20,000 people, but just a lot more things to do in Las Vegas than there is, okay, West Lafayette.
Oh yeah, a lot more distractions too. But for college kids. But I watched them play a great game against Syracuse this year. That was really a really exciting game. That was a Friday night game. Patrick Kennedy on YouTube: Coach Odom should have screamed today at Mackey, IU sucks. I think he's got a little more class than that. Man, Cignetti's easy to not like.
God.
Yeah, we can talk about that. We can talk about that matchup next week. The ultimate reversible, the ultimate reversible jacket matchup
game. Yeah.
Before we switch things over to the hardwood, let's talk about one of our great sponsors, and that is Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom's been supporting the Boiler Breakdown now for a couple of years, and they've been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan or myself visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out the latest pizza of the month, which the month for December is the chicken pot pie that consists of chicken gravy topped with chicken peas. Chopped carrots, mozzarella cheese, and covered with puff pastry pieces, starting at just $14. So next time you're in town, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5, that's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. Mad Mushroom, feed your head. So all you seniors out there, before you graduate this weekend, or before you, if you're not graduating, well, seniors, yeah, you don't have to graduate in December if you're a senior. You can graduate in the spring. Duh, I'm just all over the place.
Yeah, tonight. I was a December grad, so.
I was too. Half a victory lap. But yep. Anyways, or before you, any student, before you go home for break, stop in Mad Mushroom. Get yourself some pizza, some cheese sticks, some wings, some grinders, some beer if you're of legal age.
Did you see they knocked down all of Chauncey Mall?
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes. And I think it was supposed to happen a long time before it actually happened.
Yeah, so. I knew it was a thing, but I kind of just forgot about it. And I saw something, I think it was on Instagram. I was like, oh my God, it's gone. Jake's is gone officially.
Such a sad day. Yeah. Such a sad day. But glad Sunday wasn't a sad day in Mackey Arena. Because last Thursday night was in Happy Valley. I turned it off halfway through the second half.
That was bad.
It got out of hand. I thought it was boring. The commentary situation sucked. I don't know why they didn't have them on site. I don't know what that was
like,
about.
Yeah, like I think it got better towards the end, but yeah, like I remember like we were watching it. I was watching my wife, and there was like a call made or something, and I saw the official's hand go up, but I didn't hear a whistle. And then like a whistle was like 2 seconds later. I was like, wait, what the heck's going on? And then there was like a shot that went through the net, and like you see it go through. And then like a second later, you hear the net splash. And I'm like, what is going on? It was so annoying. And then, yeah, I realized that something was way off, but stupid. Was it Fox Sports or was it Big Ten? I can't remember.
That was Fox Sports One.
It was Fox Sports. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just a good,
that was a whooping.
An ass whooping.
It was a whooping.
Yeah. Kind of what I was afraid of. And Penn State, I think Penn State's a pretty good team. They got
much improved
tonight. Yeah, or they were getting beat at Rutgers, which Rutgers is no slouch this year either. I know they were down double digits at halftime. They're down 9. They're down 9 with 9 to go at Rutgers right now.
I've always said if you're down as many points as there are minutes left in the game, you still got a chance. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, I mean, nothing went right. It felt like, you know, it felt like it took so much energy just to score, get a bucket, and I felt like they were kind of hanging on for dear life at halftime. And it just kind of just spiraled towards the end. I mean, 24 turnovers sets a
record. Oh, man. Tied a record. Record, I think.
Yeah. It was just a bad game.
It was. Brady only took 5 shots. I know he wants to get everybody involved, but you got to do what you did Sunday. Take over at
Times. I mean, it sucks that we don't get to see Penn State again. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I would like to play them at Mackey.
Could see them Big Ten tournament.
That's true. Yeah. But, you know,
typically starts on like a Monday this year. Not really, but it starts really early with 18 teams. Are all teams in it?
No. Yeah, I think only 14. They're like, yeah, if you bottom four don't make it, I think.
Okay. Never mind.
But yeah, it was just not a fun game. I did watch the whole thing. The score at the end was not indicative of the actual game. I think it was like 11 at the end, but it was a 20-point blowout. Yeah. But credit to Penn State. I mean,
I hate playing there.
It's a lose-lose always. it made Sunday's game even bigger because what we saw of Ted Berger says 15 of the 18 make the Big Ten tournament. Okay.
Nope.
I guess I thought it would have been 14 since that's what it was previously, but maybe I'm wrong. Because Maryland played a similar style to Penn State in terms of just like defensive pressure and turnover, being able to force turnovers, which, you know, I mean, and obviously dropping 0-2 would have been not a hot start for Purdue, but they fought like hell in the second half. Braden went superhero on everybody. Trey Coffin Wren, I mean, is just proving that he's one of the best players in the Big Ten. Like, a lot of Purdue fans knew he was going to be and thought he would be. Maryland's good again. We don't play. I'm thankful not to go.
I hate playing there.
College Park.
God, I sound like Broke Rickon. I hate playing there.
Derek Queen was a mother of that game. Like,
good Lord. I'll tell you what helped us. I think looking back on it, you know, he was 0-11 coming into the game from behind the arc on the year. He hits those two. Well, and then he missed his next three, and we got the rebound every single time. Got on transition.
Yeah,
that helped us because he got whatever he wanted down low.
He did. Yeah, I mean, he is a much better version of Travion Williams.
He's a one and done, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, he was 5-star Monteverde Academy, like
those McDonald's All American.
He's a great player. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have the athleticism, he's not obviously like above the rim type guy, but he's doesn't matter. That dude is productive.
First time in years where we were a smaller team.
Oh, I know.
We're not used to that.
I thank God Julian Reese fouled out.
God, he's been there 18 years.
Yeah. Berg came in for a little bit when Trey got into foul trouble 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
Weren't shooting it well for the start. It kind of felt like Purdue was doing so much to get a bucket. Meanwhile, they were, you know, getting hot. Like Gillespie, man, his shot, like, it's so much arc on it, but it went in every time. It felt like, I was getting a little nervous there towards the end, and then, you know, again, Braden and Trey kind of took over there for a good stretch and kind of sealed it. Cam Heidi was awesome. Had some big plays. Miles Colvin had some big rebounds.
Yeah, Cam had three dunks in this game.
Yeah, Miles had some, you know, some big putbacks. So it was just an all out effort from a lot of guys. It was a much needed win.
Yeah, the two guys are struggling right now. One probably more than the other is two freshmen, the guards.
Oh yeah,
Harrison Fox. They've hit a little freshman slump already. And I think, you know, this proves how much this Purdue team is not only missing but also how important to last year's team Lance Jones was.
Oh my God,
as a ball handler, because this team could use another ball handler right now, especially against pressure.
I think CJ struggled more just against the press.
I think he's more of a scoring guard.
That's
what he is.
Yeah, Jakari's better with the ball. He's just not quick like CJ, but CJ has gotten his lunch taken from him multiple times.
It's not fair to Jakari either. Every time I watch him, I'm like, I just think of his dad the whole time, and I'm like, where's your speed like your dad had, even though your dad was 6'8"? And I'm like, that's not fair. That's not fair at all. But
yeah. We had the one lineup that had, I think, Jakari, Raleigh Burgess, and I think maybe Caleb out there, or maybe not Caleb, but it was like three guys.
They threw Caleb and Berg out there at the same time.
We had some lineup that had like three guys that were not offensive threats at all. that was interesting for a minute, but hey, I mean, they got it done. I mean,
yep. That's all matters.
Yeah. Raleigh missed another, like his like fifth layup of the year. It feels like, I feel so bad for the kid. I know he's trying so hard. Caleb missed a dunk. I'm not sure how he missed it. But he's still playing his butt off out there. He's doing some good things.
And he was the elf again. So
yeah. For one last time. But yeah, I mean, as kind of expected, this team's going to go as our big three go.
And like most do.
Yeah, as most do. Some people aren't even lucky to have enough uh-huh. big three, really. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, Braden was incredible down the stretch.
Yeah, sure was. He took over, and he had a game that nobody's really seen in the Big Ten since Denzel Valentine.
Yeah.
Where you have, I guess, 20-plus points, 10 or more assists, and 5 made threes in the same game. So, pretty good company there. But Boilermakers, of course, no game this week during the week finals. But do have one this weekend, the 2024 Indy Classic versus Texas A&M Aggies, a school that Purdue's only played twice in school history.
Really?
Series is tied up 1-1. Texas A&M and both. So this is interesting. Even this weekend's game's neutral. All games have been played on neutral courts.
Huh.
0-1-0-2 season was played out in Vegas, where A&M won by a score of 71-64. And then Purdue, of course, beat them in the second round of the NCAA tournament in the 09-10 season. Chris Kramer with the layup.
Yep.
And they missed a shot at the buzzer to win. Scored 63-61. That team, I believe, had DeAndre Jordan on it. And definitely had A.C. Law on it. Remember him?
Yeah, I remember A.C. Law, yeah.
So, of course, two completely different teams now, years later. Buzz Williams at the helm. Texas A&M, and I do not know much about them this year at all.
No, I think they play, as we've kind of seen a couple times already, I think they play really good pressure defense. This has kind of been a big stretch for this team. Obviously, you had the San Diego, little tournaments. You came home for kind of a bye game, right? We had a bye game in there. Yeah, it was. You went to that game.
Marshall.
Marshall. But then you obviously had your two Big Ten games. Which Purdue always seems to get, like, just like I feel like they always get the away game is always like some team that's just like just an absolute
Northwestern, Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State. Yeah.
I mean, sidebar, I tweeted this out and it didn't get as much traction as I was hoping it would get because I was pretty proud of my little research I did. But, I went back and looked, at the ever since they started doing the two game Big Ten slate in December. I went back and looked to see, like, you know, the first road game because it was always the first Big Ten game. Right. 2017, we won at Maryland. That was the Carson Edwards freshman year, kind of went clutch, a couple big free throws at the end. I'm trying to remember what he
threw. We got so lucky because Haas traveled and then they had a three at the buzzer to win or tie or whatever it was.
Yep.
Missed. We were down a bunch that game and came fighting back.
Yeah. I remember because I was living in Indy. I still live in Indy, but we had gone out to dinner or gone out to lunch with my now wife's family. We went to like Texas Roadhouse or something. And I was like, it was a blowout. So I was like, one of the few times I was like, screw it. I really had no choice. Let's be honest. But we went, I was like, screw it. This game's done. And then I was kind of checking my phone and I was like, we're coming back in this game. And then I found there was a TV like way in the back that I could kind of see from my seat. And I was not at the table and mentally anymore. 2018, we lost at Michigan. I don't remember that game, but we did go on to win the Big Ten that year. 2019, lost at Nebraska. That was a 2019-2020 team that would not have made the tournament had we had one.
Well, who'd we lose to? Michigan?
2018, we lost at Michigan. Yeah, lost at Michigan. That was a Carson Edwards team. So probably in that stretch where we were just before we kind of turned it on, where Tanner hated that team.
Yep.
I said 2019 lost at Nebraska. 2020, which this was the COVID year, so it was a little weird because there wasn't a whole lot of non-con. But our first, because at this point, when this game happened, we didn't play another non-con team until the tournament. But I counted it because it was a first Big Ten game. It was lost at Iowa. 2021.
I don't remember that game at all.
I don't either. I don't remember much about that season outside of like the Ohio State game and a few other or Michigan
lost
State
to Michigan
game.
At home. I remember we We had one of the worst choke jobs against Miami, down in Miami that year. That was really bad.
Yeah. That had been our last non-con loss.
I remember my dad, I went over to my parents to watch the game. He got so mad that game. And like at that point, it's like, this is a throwaway season. I don't even care, even though I did care. But he was so mad. I'll never forget that.
It's funny. 2021 was lost at Rutgers. It was after, 2 days after Purdue gets their first number one ranking ever, lost the buzzer. 2022, we won at Nebraska in overtime. That was Fletcher Lawyer. Yeah, Fletcher slam a jamma.
That was 2 years ago today.
Was it really?
Nope.
Went on to win the Big Ten that year. Last year, first one was at Northwestern in overtime. Back-to-back years of overtime games.
Zach made the buzzer beater to force overtime.
Force overtime. I, after that, I was like, we're winning this game.
I did, yeah. I had no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, because that was, because that was back-to-back years that they knocked us off when we were number one. Yeah,
storm, all that.
Yeah. Still went on go on to win the Big Ten, and then this year lost at Penn State. So Purdue is 2-6 since they've gone to this. And two of the three times we won the Big Ten, we lost that game.
Yep.
So
this game's at noon on CBS on Saturday.
Classic.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. A&M's 8-2 on the year. They lost their first game of the season at Central Florida, 64-61. They then beat East Texas A&M, didn't even know that was school. Lamar, Ohio State. Southern lost to Oregon 80-70, beat Creighton 77-73, beat Rutgers 81-77, beat Wake Forest 57-44, and beat Texas Tech over the weekend 72-67. So, decent wins in there.
It's not going to be an easy game. Being Indy, Purdue should theoretically have quite the home crowd. Although it would be interesting to see, though, because of and this is the Indy Classic, so there's two games. Purdue's the first game this year. I think it's the first time they've been the first game in the last
CBS calls. That's why they're first.
Yeah, this is only the third year of the Indy Classic, but the second game is Butler, Wisconsin. So those versus last year was the first game was Indiana State and
Ball State.
Maybe I think I think because it was Michael Lewis was on the sideline for Ball State. And those teams obviously aren't going to bring the fan contingency that Butler, obviously Butler being an Indy, that'll be a big thing. And
maybe some of their fans will sell their tickets after tonight.
That's true. Yeah, they'd lose a bye game.
That's twice this year.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's things are not great for Mata down there.
Add to the bone.
So I'm interested to see how the crowd is. Do the Wisconsin fans who are coming early, do they cheer for their Big Ten brethren? Or
absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
I don't know why I wouldn't cheer for Wisconsin. So,
no. Are there any Big Ten teams you would cheer for in that circumstance?
Let's see here. I mean, it also depends who they're playing. If it was like a, because I have a soft spot for Butler. So if it was takeaway, like if it was just some random, if they were playing like Texas A&M, let's just say like some team that I just don't care about at all.
I do not have a soft spot for Butler. So
I might cheer for Penn State. I don't know. I like Mike Rhodes. I mean, I think like
those. I'd cheer for Rutgers.
I might cheer for Rutgers with Pikel.
Nebraska.
If they still had Tominaga, absolutely.
How about the new schools like UCLA, Washington, Oregon, USC?
I
wouldn't
care. I don't care enough about them. I had the UCLA Oregon game on the other night, and I was watching it. And usually, I feel like if there's a Big Ten game on, I'll pay attention to it. And I was watching this, and I was like, I can't get into this right now. Yeah. It's like this still feels weird. Like it didn't feel weird for football, but basketball feels weird.
Yep.
Mostly because like those places they don't pack out their arenas like the
totally true different.
Big Ten teams do. So it's just like it just didn't feel right. Big win by UCLA that night though.
Yeah, they're another team once Purdue faced them with pressure defense.
Yeah.
But any other thoughts? I mean, like I said, one game this week, one game next week. That's gonna be really tough next week. Down in Birmingham against number two Auburn. And then return to home to play Toledo. So it was interesting doing all the Christmas stuff the other day against Maryland, because that was the last time Boilers would be in action to Mackey. So after Christmas, long break.
I just didn't realize because when I started doing it, I was like, man, it feels like it's pretty early for doing this, but I didn't even realize that we won't have a home game until after Christmas. But yeah, I mean, this should be a good test. I like Purdue's chance in this one. Next week is a different story. We'll talk about that.
I agree 100%. That's why I thought Maryland was so important.
Yeah. I was like, I think going back to like the Alabama game of like, you know, looking at that point, it was Alabama and then Marquette, but like,
yeah,
you know, these types of games, you know, Purdue's dropped a couple. But I think I like Purdue's chance in this one in Indy.
I do too. I hope my assumption's wrong. I'm just assuming we're going to come out flat and not shoot well in the first half, because that's usually what we do in Indy during these games. We shot well in the tournament the first two rounds. So
they proved to me we shot pretty well last year against Arizona. I feel like we
You know, you're right. I forgot that was the game last year.
That was an awesome environment.
I'm used to their finals just
playing Notre Dame.
Shoot off, good. Or Butler, either one. I hated that. Cool concept. We suck so bad at that.
Yeah.
I remember when I was yelling to replace us with, at the time, IUPUI, Evansville, Valpo. I don't care. Get us out of this thing.
Little did we know.
Little did we know what was going to happen. But are you going?
As of right now, no. Probably not going to happen. So.
Sometimes it's hard to beat the seat on your couch.
It's very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last year I went, I mean, obviously it was such a special season playing number one Arizona. That was so fun. But this year, my dad's not going, so I don't think I'll go.
Yeah, I will. I will be watching from my couch. I'm glad it's at noon though. I got my company Christmas party that night. So I'll be able to watch the game and still relax a little bit before I got to go to that. So let's throw out prediction there. Prediction and MVP for Saturday.
I'm going to go Boiler 75-69.
All right. I bet the spread's about 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm thinking.
They are ranked 17th right now.
Yeah,
so it's the 17th, gets 11. Yeah,
top 20 matchup. Play of the game. I'm going to go Fletch.
I had a feeling you're going to do that. Can't go
big
wrong.
Game, Fletch.
He likes to play there. He likes to play there.
He does.
I'll go Purdue 78, A&M 70. Camden Heidi.
I like that.
Another double-digit scoring game out of him. And he grabs at least 8 boards.
Yeah. So. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I tweeted about it too from our account, but I think we're in the week 6. This is the week 6 poll. And for the last, 20-odd years, the national champion has always been ranked in the top 12 at this point in the season.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So we're pretty one of those teams. So
UConn's not winning it. UConn's not repeating.
I didn't even think about that. I saw the tweet. I just saw we were in. I was like, oh, that's cool.
UConn's not repeating. Indiana's not hanging up a banner. All right.
Yeah.
Is Illinois in the top? Illinois is not top 12.
Nope, they're not.
All right. So we're
right. They're unranked because they lost.
That's right. They're Northwestern.
Yep.
And then they play Wisconsin tonight. And then they play Tennessee this weekend.
Yeah. I was texting my friend who's a Tennessee fan who is just a different level.
Oh, they are so confident. Like, I was listening to a podcast that doesn't even have to do with sports, but one of the guy likes Tennessee, so he brings them up once in a while. Guaranteed they're going to Final Four this year, he said. Like, it's December 10th. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've never been. I'll just get texts about, you know, man, it feels good to have the best, you know, athletic department in the entire country, or, oh, look, we're number one again. But I was like, man, I'm going to have a real trouble trying to figure out who to cheer for in that game against Illinois. And I was like, actually, you know what? I'm 100% pulling for Tennessee in that game.
Oh, yeah. But who are you rooting for, Tennessee or Ohio State in football?
Ohio State. Part of me wants Tennessee to win just to see the chaos with Ryan Day. He's gone.
They give him a slip after the game.
Yeah, but yeah, I think
I could see Ohio State making a run for it all. I know they played bad against Michigan, but it wouldn't shock me. This is a different rabbit hole. We could probably say this for next week, but I wish they would reseed the seedings after the first round games, because I feel like Oregon got such a raw deal.
Oh my God. Yeah. And Penn State,
Pitt State loses like, the game, and they got the easiest track if they can win it. But we know Franklin can't win big games.
So. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Cause in my work, I do, I have a, every Monday we have an operations meeting in it with our joint branches, and we have one in Knoxville and one in Cleveland, and the Cleveland guys are Ohio State fans and the Knoxville guys are all UT grads. So it's, I'm anxious to see how UT guys are very confident. Safe to say. So
I don't know. And then of course you got, like you said, the game we all hate, Notre Dame and IU, and the winner probably gets a Georgia team that most likely won't have Carson Beck.
Yeah.
But if there's any team in the field that could stand to lose their quarterback, it'd be Georgia, I would argue, over
that
anybody
defense
else.
Is stupid.
And their backup played, he played fine against Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Texas could lose viewers. Like Manning's the
real deal. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I forgot about them. Right. Yeah. Yeah, because Ewers is probably going to jump. Hey, Barry. Just saying.
Why not?
Didn't work so good for the last guy we tried, but I don't think that was all his fault. Any final thoughts you got before we pay some more bills with one final sponsor read and wrap this up?
No, I mean, I'm after kind of just the deflating feeling of football season, really post Notre Dame game, it's nice to feel excited again.
We got some hope. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, I mean, we haven't even played a game. We won't till next August or September, but it's
right.
It just was, it was nice to me coming away from those press conferences. Like, it feels like we have an actual CEO again around this football program. And that's what was missing. It felt like, I mean, he came off a lot of Brom like, but more likable.
Yes. I'd agree. So. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be exciting. I'm excited to see kind of really this, you know, next couple of weeks how it all unfolds with staff. Obviously, OC is the big, I think, question mark for Purdue fans. You know, we want to see an exciting off. I think a bit like anything else, like we just want to see fun football. I mean, even going back to that game against, you know, Missouri in 2018, like, yeah, it sucked to lose, but man, it was a hell of a game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, like, wow, and Watt threw it all over the damn yard. It was really fun.
It sounds like that's like the game that won us over for David Bell, even though we lost.
Yeah.
Like, just seeing, you know, guys throw the ball over the field. We just want to see fun football and have a team that we're proud of. And, you know, that's on and off the field. So, you're excited. He scares the crap out of me, not going to lie. Looking at him, I'm like, oh, my God.
He looks like Purdue Pete a little bit.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yes, and then obviously basketball in the thick of it. I think it's, the team's going through a lot of growing pains, as we still will. You know, it's, you know, speaking of the freshmen, like, it's not the easiest schedule for them to get acclimated to the college, you know, Division I basketball with the gauntlet that Painter set up for them. But I think that hopefully should pay dividends come February.
Got to break through on the road sometime.
Yeah, you know, yeah. That's game. This feels like a team that's going to drop a lot on the road, probably. As of right now, things can change, obviously. In the Big Ten, no one looks elite, but no one looks, outside of maybe a few teams, looks like a doormat either. So
Minnesota, you suck.
Oh my God. God, they're bad. I feel so. I know, I like Ben Johnson a lot. He's just in a really tough situation.
Washington's not good either. I don't think USC's good.
No.
That's like that. Everybody's
It's going to be just absolute chaos, which can make it really fun as a fan. So.
Sure.
But well, one more sponsor. We've got our good friends over at the shop. I've got my drum script hoodie. Tanner's got the football Purdue, old school Purdue helmets.
Oh, yeah.
Which, speaking of helmets, the new white Purdue helmet, if you're an EA college football game, it's in the game now. So go enjoy that.
I need to go enjoy that. Yeah.
But yeah, friends at the shop, you know, they've been making hometown apparel since 2011. Purdue owned and operated, which is what we always love to see. Hopefully they have some new gear for Purdue football and basketball coming soon. Maybe not football, but you never know with exciting new hire.
I will say, I hate Indiana, but that football school shirt is pretty cool.
It was good. It was very creative. Cool. That was pretty good. Yeah. And so they should definitely enjoy it.
I would be so obnoxious
yeah,
that I would be, my friends would hate me. So
yeah. But anyways, besides that, but if you got, you know, a Purdue, an Indiana, Notre Dame, or not Notre Dame, they don't want to do it.
Yeah,
Ohio State, Ball State, Indiana State,
Wabash, DePaul. Wabash,
fan in your life, or even just anything, you know, all things Indiana. Check them out. They've got 3 retail locations, 1 in Carmel, 1 in Broderup, 1 in downtown Indy. But it's, oh gosh, what is it today? The 10th. So we've got 2 weeks till Christmas, essentially.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
So probably when you're listening to this, if you're not listening live, 2 weeks from today, the time you're listening to this.
Yes.
Take advantage. They've got sales going on. They've got another pretty cool Purdue hoodie along with some other schools. I think everything on sale right now on those websites, 25-30% off. But if you're not able to get one of those deals, you can always use our code breakdown, all caps, one word. You get 25% off your entire order. And if you go to www.theshopindy.com.
Yeah, and if you want to make sure you get your item before Christmas, I would recommend stopping into one of their 3 retail stores. Yep. To make sure.
Yep. 100%. You know,
I'm an online shopper myself. Trust me. I don't like to go to stores. But in crunch time, you got to do what you got to do. So.
Yep. If you're coming to Indy for the game on Saturday, yeah.
There you go.
One of their 3 locations. They're awesome. They've got a lot of good stuff.
Yep. So. I've stopped at the Carmel one. I need to get to the other ones.
I've been to Carmel and Broadway. I've not been to the downtown one.
I need to get to the other ones. So I just know it's going to – I might as well just hand them my card when I walk.
Right. So, surprise me.
Yeah. So, all right, Webby, good stuff. A lot of fun. Thank you to everybody that tuned in and commented on YouTube. Really appreciate it. And you can leave your comments anytime when you're even listening. If you listen on your favorite podcast platform, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave us a rating and review. We really appreciate that. With that said, I'm Tanner Lee. He's Evan Webb. Let's boiler up, hammer down, and beat the Aggies.
Boiler up.